Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, to Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to speak about the civil case settlement in the killing of George Floyd, the black drug dealer and violent armed robber, burglar, criminal who has been turned into a national hero by this insane country, the United States of America, which has become a lunatic asylum. The Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously to give $27 million tax-free to George Floyd's family. $27 million tax-free. You know, when you get a settlement for something like this, in a civil case like this, you don't pay taxes on it. So it's triple tax-free. $27 million. This is someone who not only doesn't deserve, and his family do not deserve 27 cents, they deserve a lot worse. A lot worse. George Floyd was not a national hero. He was a monster. And he was reflective of black culture in America today. How evil, how cruel, how vicious, how selfish, jealous, ignorant, low IQ, ugly, disgusting, vicious people. And this is what is idolized now in America today and lied about in America today. First of all, let's understand something about George Floyd. Now, he was killed. They say he was killed. He died while in police custody. Okay. But look at his history. Look at the history of this creature. And maybe you'll understand some of the background as to why the police react the way they do with black criminals like George Floyd when criminals like George Floyd are in their custody. First of all, George Floyd was a convicted serial drug dealer. You know what that means? That means he was selling poison. Poison to his own brothers and sisters. Who uses these drugs? Mostly, he was selling it in the black community to his fellow blacks. He was selling cocaine. You know what cocaine does to someone? Aside from killing someone, aside from destroying the body, it destroys the soul. It turns people into monsters who are selfish, who people only care about getting another fix, who don't care about anything, who have no soul, nothing. It takes people's souls away. It's a monstrous, horrific drug. And George Floyd was selling this to his own brothers and sisters. He was convicted in Texas three times in 2002, 2004, and 2005. Now, he had other convictions also in the 1990s. He had prior convictions even before this. But in 2002, 2004, 2005, he was convicted during a three-year period three times and received short prison terms for selling poison to the people in his community. He should have gotten the death penalty. When you sell poison, that's like mass murder. When you, for profit, are poisoning people, are killing people with this poison, you deserve the death penalty. Drug dealers deserve to get the death penalty. Drug dealers who sell poison, who sell drugs that kill people. And yet he was sentenced to these short prison terms in the state of Texas. But he was convicted, never denied his guilt, and was selling poison, again, to his fellow blacks for money, for profit. That's the big hero. And he was convicted in 2009 and sentenced to 5 years in prison in the state of Texas for an armed, violent burglary that he committed. There was a woman all alone in her apartment, and he forced his way into her apartment with a gun and he assaulted her in her stomach with the gun, repeatedly assaulted her, violently, brutally assaulted this woman, this helpless, defenseless woman, and pushed his way into the apartment, terrorized this woman, stole her jewelry and stole other valuables from the apartment. This is the big hero, George Floyd. In the 1990s, he had two other drug and violent armed robbery convictions, and aside from that, he had even a more extensive history beyond what I'm describing here. I'm just briefly describing his history of poisoning people, of killing people by selling them poison, of robbing people at gunpoint, of invading people's homes and stealing their possessions and assaulting them with loaded guns. And this vermin gets 20, he and his vermin family, who are just like him and who defend him and who say he's a hero and how wonderful he is, his illegitimate daughters, all just his whole family are the same, all from the low, I mean the lowest of the low, they get $27 million. His family that immediately turns to Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson and all the Jew haters and all the racists and all the race baiters and all the demagogues and all the black Nazis. That's whom his family supports. That's whom his family works with, cooperates with, defends, marches with. And of course, out of this came Black Lives Matter, a movement which states in its founding document, it states that Israel should be destroyed, that Israel has no right to exist and Israel should be destroyed. What does that have to do with Black Lives Matter? I mean, they're just vicious, jealous, malignant, Jew-hating scum. If not for the Jews, they'd still be wiping their black tuchuses in the jungles of Africa with leaves, if not for the Jews. It was the Jews that fought for them and got them everything. It was Jewish brains that won the civil rights movement. And when we won civil rights for these black Jew haters, we lost our own civil rights in the United States. You know how many Jews have been murdered by blacks along with other whites? Over the years, thousands and thousands of whites, among them Jews, some of whom I've known. I've known families one couple who were friends with my mother, whose son was home alone and he was murdered by a black burglar who had a gun and shot him to death in order to go into his house and rob his house. I mean, so many Jews have been murdered and brutalized by these beasts. And this is after the Jews did everything to defend them and fight for them, and still, look at the six self-hating Jews of America today. Most six self-hating Jews of America today still support them. Jews did for them what they would never do for their own. The Jews did nothing. American Jews did nothing while 6 million innocent Jewish men, women, and children in Europe were brutally burned and gassed in the worst crime in human history, the Holocaust. American Jews did nothing to save the Jews during the Holocaust, and the Holocaust could have been stopped and the Jews could have been saved. No question the Jews could have been saved if the Jews here had raised their voices and had gotten the United States to bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz, to destroy the death camps, etc., etc., etc. There's no question that the Holocaust would have been stopped dead in its tracks. The Germans always tested before they killed Jews or did something to Jews. They always tested world reaction first. They were worried about world reaction. And when they saw that even American Jews would do nothing to defend their brothers and sisters during the Holocaust, then they went ahead and decided to murder millions of innocent European Jews because they knew they'd get away with it. Jews who did nothing for 6 million Jews who were murdered during the Holocaust, who aside from those of us in the Jewish Defense League who were supporters of our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik, V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yukom Damo, aside from us in the JDL, did virtually nothing to save Soviet Jews. All these years, millions of Soviet Jews trapped behind the Iron Curtain, Jews who allowed millions of their fellow Jews to assimilate and intermarry and disappear in a spiritual Holocaust in the United States, these same sick, self-hating Jewish anti-Semites, when it comes to enemies of the Jewish people, they're the first ones to fight for their own enemies. What a sick people! And this people survives thousands of years? Well, the Romans, the ancient Romans, the ancient Greeks, the ancient Mesopotamians and Babylonians, and Assyrians and all these great ancient empires, they disappeared, and this tiny people, the Hebrews, survived all these thousands of years and have returned to their homeland, and they're so sick and so self-hating, they don't even want to survive, and they survive while everybody else disappears, and you don't see the miracle here, and you don't realize that this is the hand of God. Putting aside the fact that the self-hating Jews don't deserve to survive, that we know. The self-hating Jews don't deserve to survive. But there are good, decent Jews who do deserve to survive, and who have deserved to survive, and there were Jewish heroes in history who gave their lives for the Jewish cause. And they survived, despite the fact that they were repeatedly betrayed by all these self-hating Jews. I mean, what an incredible nest, what an incredible miracle that the Jewish people have survived all of this. Now, let me explain something to those of you who feel that we have to be mournful when our enemies die. Same Jews, by the way, who are never mournful when their own people die. You know, American Jews, to their disgrace, the Orthodox, so-called conservative, and so-called Reform Jews, all three branches, announced a day of mourning. A national day of mourning, they announced. These are Jews announcing a day of mourning when the Nazi Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who was responsible for the Holocaust, who did everything he could to enable the Germans to murder the 6 million Jews, did everything he could to prevent any rescue efforts. This vicious, vile, Jew-killing swine, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, dropped dead, thank God, and finally in 1945. And Jews announced the National Day of Mourning when this filthy pig dropped dead. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. They never announced the National Day of Mourning for the over 6 million Jews who were murdered because of Roosevelt. This is the type of sickness that we're dealing with when it comes to American Jews. American Jews are getting the ultimate punishment, because American Jews are facing a consequences much worse than European Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust. Many European Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust at least will have a place in the world to come. They'll have eternal life in the next world. You think assimilated, intermarried American Jews who are enemies of their own people and anti-Semites and couldn't care less about their own people, you think they're going to have a place in the next world? Are you kidding? Their spiritual Holocaust is much worse than the physical Holocaust the European Jews faced, because the physical Holocaust the European Jews faced, if it was a good Jew that was murdered in the gas chambers and the ovens and the concentration camps, they were murdered in this world, but at least in the next world, the world of eternal life, they're going to have eternal life in a world way beyond anything we can imagine in terms of the beauty and greatness of what life will be like in Ba'olam Haba, in the next world. But the Jews who die in a physical Holocaust, in a spiritual Holocaust, because of their self-hatred, because of their evil, they destroy themselves and die in this world and in the next world. They're going to die in both worlds, and their death will be forever. In real Judaism, we are commanded to rejoice when our enemies die. We just celebrated recently the Chag, the holiday of Purim. On Purim, the Jews celebrate when their enemies are killed. Haman and his Nazi supporters promised to exterminate the Jews, who at that time were living entirely under the rule of the Persian Empire. Persian Empire ruled over 127 countries and peoples, and the entire Jewish people were living within the Persian Empire, were living under Persian control. And Haman had permission from the king to murder all of the Jews, and the Jews were destined to be murdered. That was going to happen, but a miracle occurred, and I'm not going to go through the whole story because we don't have time. But the Jews reversed that decision, and the Jews got permission to go out and fight Haman and kill him and all of his followers. Haman and his followers threatened the Jews, just threatened to kill the Jews, and based on that threat, the Jews went out and killed Haman and killed 75,000 of his Nazi followers who had promised to exterminate the Jewish people. Haman and 75,000 of his Nazi followers were killed for threatening the Jewish people. That was when the Jews were normal. That was when Jews were still normal. Today, today, Arab Muslim Nazis who have slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews and have promised to exterminate the Jewish people, the Jews not only don't do what the Jews in the time of Purim did to them, not only don't the Jews won't even expel them. In fact, the Jews give them billions of dollars and treat them in the land of Israel, treat their Arab Nazi enemies better than they treat their fellow Jews, than they treat their own brothers and sisters. Arab terrorists in Israel have more rights than good Jews. Arab terrorists serve in the Israeli Knesset, and Benjamin Netanyahu, the traitor prime minister, wants to have a coalition government with them now, with their party, which a party that supports Hamas, an organization that openly calls for the literal extermination of the entire Jewish people, a Hitlerian platform Hamas has. And the party, the Arab political party running in the Knesset, they're allowed to run in the elections for the Knesset. The Knesset is the Israeli parliament. They're allowed to run in the elections for the Israeli Knesset. Rabbi Meir Kahana was not allowed to run. I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel. I'm barred from going to Israel since 1996. I can't even set foot in Israel. But Netanyahu gives money, supports, backs, arms, and does everything he can to strengthen the enemies of his own people. It's unbelievable. And you know, we see, of course, we see the self-hating whites in America, the same type of behavior. Of course, Joe Biden and all the other, these, even Donald Trump. Donald Trump, always the first thing he would mention when he's running for re-election is how he lowered the African-American unemployment rate. Big deal. That was his big accomplishment. That's the thing that he always thought was such a great accomplishment. The fact is, when enemies of the Jewish people are eliminated or leave this world, we're supposed to rejoice. That's what Purim is. Purim is the most joyous holiday on the Jewish calendar, and we rejoice when Haman and his followers were killed in Persia, when Haman and his followers were eliminated, not only eliminated, the Jews are the ones that killed them, and we rejoice when this happens. Farrakhan supporting, Obama supporting blacks are just like Haman, are just like the Nazis. They would exterminate every last Jew if they could. They would kill every last Jew if they could. And if they ever get the power, God forbid, they will do it. They'd kill every last white person if they could. They hate white people too. And since whites are going to be a minority in the United States, whites are going to be in trouble. Day of reckoning is coming for white America. Whites are going to be in a lot of trouble in the United States. About 97% of American blacks voted for Obama. Who supports Louis Farrakhan? Who supports Jesse Jackson? Who supports Al Sharpton? Barack Hussein Obama, a black Muslim Jew hater. And, okay, 97% of blacks voted for him. Okay, they're evil, it's disgusting, it's immoral, it's horrible. But they did, it's a fact. The really shocking statistic is that 79% of the Jews voted for him in 2008. We had only one normal leader for the Jewish people. That was Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. He was the only one who told us the truth. He was the only one with the courage to stand up for what was right. And so he was banned and barred and not allowed to run. And in the end, he was murdered by Al-Qaeda terrorists in 1990. Even today, you know, today they have people who call themselves Kahanists who are running in the elections in Israel today who are not Kahanists at all, who betrayed all the principles. Itamar Ben-Gvir is running for the Knesset now. He's a Likud person. He supports Netanyahu, and he's a Likud person. He 100% supports Netanyahu and the Likud. I don't even know why he's running. Why shouldn't people just vote for Likud? Why should they vote for his party? Why not vote for the Likud if you want to? You know, if you really support Netanyahu and the Likud, as Ben-Gvir says, it's essential that Netanyahu and the Likud stay in power. If that's true, then why not vote for Netanyahu and the Likud directly? Why vote for this tiny little splinter party that Ben-Gvir is running on? No one is telling the truth in this generation, except for those remnants of the Kahanist movement. We have Rabbi Kahana's grandson, Meir Ettinger. We have the Jewish hero, Noam Federman. We have the hilltop youth in Israel who are truthful, great people and heroic people. Those are Jewish young Jews who are settling on hilltops in Judea and Samaria to prevent those hilltops from being taken over by Arabs, strategic hilltops so that Israel will not surrender Jewish land and create a so-called Palestinian state, which would be national suicide. We have Jewish heroes in this generation. And JTF, yes, JTF, this organization, we're telling the truth. And we're advertising and bringing videos to people telling this the truth and bringing the message that you hear here to the Jews of Israel. That's very important. Because, as we say on this program many times, someday the good guys are going to win. As dark as things seem, and as bad as things seem, and as much as this is a generation of lies, in the end, we have been promised by the prophets, we were told all this was going to happen toward the end of days, that it was going to get so horrible and so evil and so terrible that even the greatest rabbis in the Talmud said they wouldn't want to live in that generation, even though it's the generation before the final redemption, before the Geulah, before HaGeulah HaShlema, before the final redemption, or before the full redemption. And they said they wouldn't want to live in that generation because it would be so evil. That's the time we're living in. That's the time we're living in. How do we know? Because the Jews have returned to the land of Israel. Because the Jews are no longer in exile. In 1948, the Jews returned to the land of Israel. Since 1948, that redemption has started. That process is moving forward. And it is moving forward. And it is progressing despite the insanity of Jews. Miraculously, incredibly. Israel has gone from a country of 500,000 Jews in 1948, or 600,000 Jews in 1948, to 6.5 million Jews today. Almost half of world Jewry now lives in Israel. And very soon the majority of Jews in the world will be living in Israel, Bezrat Hashem, God willing. There's no question a miraculous process is going forward here. And so we've got to stand up for the truth. Now, I don't like having to divert our attention from the really important issues, which are Israel. Israel is the really important issue, to speak about things like George Floyd and this low-life scum in America. George Floyd, Al Sharpton, Farrakhan, I don't, you know. That's not the main issue for Jews. The main issue for Jews is Israel and what's happening with Israel. But it is a chilul Hashem, it's a desecration of God's name, to let this go unanswered. And when so-called Jews, like the Jewish mayors of these cities, and Jewish city councilmen, and Jewish senators, Jewish politicians, when they come forward claiming to represent the Jewish people, and they defend this scum against their own people, and against the survival and interests of their own people, someone has to speak up and say something. JTF is the only group that will. The only group that will. And you know it. Because in your heart, you know we're right. And in your guts, you know they're nuts. We're going to stand up. We're going to continue to bring the truth to the Jews of Israel. That we're doing. We have an advertising campaign with our Hebrew videos. We're bringing the truth to the Jews of Israel. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. And we're going to continue to fight for the truth. And someday, yes, someday, the Jews will wake up. There'll be a turnaround for the Jews in Israel. Not the self-hating evil Jews, assimilated evil intermarried Jews. Most of them are lost. Most of them are gone. But for the Jews in Israel, there will be a turnaround. There will be a great awakening. And then we're going to see a final redemption. That's what we were promised. And all the things that we were promised in the Bible, all the things that the Nevi'im, that the prophets promised us in the Bible, will come true. Just as when they promised that the desert shall turn into a garden in the land of Israel, that the Jews shall return from the four corners of the earth to Israel. Just as they were promised, all the other things that were prophesied that are coming true, all of those prophecies will come true, and so will the prophecy about the Jews waking up. You know, soon we're going to be celebrating Pesach. We're the Jews, Passover, Pesach in Hebrew. Where the Jews came back to Israel miraculously from Egypt. But the miracle of Israel's rebirth in 1948 is greater than the miracle of Pesach. Because in Pesach, we were liberated from one country. God brought us out of Egypt, out of one country. With the rebirth of the land, with the rebirth of the Jewish people in the land of Israel in 1948, just as the prophets told us would happen, thousands of years ago, just as they told us it would happen, we have come not from one country, but from over 200 countries, speaking different languages with completely different cultures, looking differently, different races. We have all come back to the land of Israel, to the land of our forefathers. Just 3 years after the horrific Holocaust ended in 1945 with the end of World War II. Just 3 years after the horrific Holocaust, where the Jews seemed like they couldn't defend themselves and it was all hopeless and helpless. 3 years later, the Jews, outnumbered 100-1, defeat their Arab Nazi enemies against all odds with practically the most primitive weapons in the 1948 Israeli War of Independence. Just 3 years later, outnumbered 100-1, the Jews, with blazing guns and iron fists, rise from the ashes of Auschwitz to redeem their ancient homeland after 2,000 years. Where do you ever see this anywhere else? And if you don't realize what a spectacular, breathtaking, unbelievable miracle this is, then you're blind. Let's not be blind. Let's wake up and understand and remember again, our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel someday will wake up and will understand, and God is preparing, He's preparing that for us right now with the large Jewish birth rate in Israel and the Jews becoming a majority of world Jewry. Soon will be a majority of world Jewry will be in Israel. Everything is moving toward Israel. Everything is heading toward that country and everything that was promised there. So what's our job? Our job is to tell the truth and stand for the truth and nothing but the truth, and to fight for Kiddush Hashem, to fight to sanctify God's name. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.